The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm host Leah Mattinson. I want to say thank you to each and every one of you from tuning in from wherever it is you are on this beautiful planet today, and also for liking, sharing, subscribing to the new Rumble channel, Master Your Life, and for sharing the wisdom that is on these podcasts for your best and brightest health. So as usual, we are working on giving you insight, inspiration, and intelligence to master your life. And it's really hard to do that when we're living in such a shenanigana fest, as those of you who've been listening to my podcast for the last 7 years know that we've talked about things, but censorship is on an all-time high. And so if you're listening to this podcast, we're going to do some uncensored content today, but it might not be able to be played on Rumble, so, or on YouTube, sorry, because I got struck there last week again for talking and posting Dr. William Mackus's information about the doctors who are dropping dead in Canada, et cetera, et al. And so come on over to the Rumble channel, Master Your Life. It's my delight to have on a returning guest, Dr. Ralph LaGuardia. Dr. LaGuardia, how are you today?
Great. How are you, Leah?
I am great. So Dr. LaGuardia got a great new mic, so it's going to be an awesome episode where we can hear succinctly and clearly all of the really amazing data that he has had from his nearly four decades in health. And so, Dr. LaGuardia, maybe you can just talk a little bit about your background for those who don't know you from listening to previous episodes, and then talk about what's your concern right now. We're in the beginning of 2023 as we record this podcast. What's top of mind for you as a doctor?
Well, thank you for having me. Well, first of all, my background is I'm triple board certified in bariatrics, geriatrics, and internal medicine. But my real love is integrative medicine, where I take the best of alternative and combine it with the best of traditional medicine. I find that model is really potent. I just kind of get the best of both, because there's a lot of garbage in both of them. You know, there's a lot of crazy stuff in the alternative world, and there's certainly a lot of crazy stuff in the traditional Western medicine model that most of us practice. And so over the years, I've gleaned the good things from both and combined them, combining it a lot with heavy nutritional stuff and functional medicine type of things, replacing minerals and trace elements and vitamins. And over the years, I've developed this, and I've gotten more and more adept at using it. And it's really useful for my patients. And I've written three books about it. The Doomsday Book of Medicine was my first book, followed by The Bible of Alternative Medicine, followed by Infected: Secrets from the Medical Underground. And so, and I'm writing one currently, part of the Secrets from the Medical Underground series. My second one would be called Long Haul COVID, is what I'm working on now. And that kind of brings us to where we are in February of 23, which is very disturbing. You know, as I do more and more research on this, the more and more appalled I am at what we've done. And more I've realized that this, I never thought it was a vaccine, but now I'm clearly of the school of thought that it was a bioweapon and a very effective one. That's the sad part. This is possibly a game changer for mankind, and that's not an understatement. We're looking at losses of people potentially in the millions, which is death, not to mention morbidity. Already we're seeing a huge spike in cancers, and very unusual cancers. I've spoken to a few of my colleagues who are oncologists, and you know, they're seeing cancers they see once in their career. They're seeing seven of them in a year. These very unusual things. So they end up cropping up all over the place, and people who have no risk factors, no familial tendencies, nothing. They're all of a sudden getting these. In addition to which, autoimmune diseases are off the charts. Mm-hmm. And what we've realized is that with each vaccination, it does two things. It further suppresses the immune system, leading to the cancers. In addition to which, the damage to the body is ubiquitous. There's no way around it, because the vaccine, the spike protein from the vaccine, targets endothelial cells. And for those who are not medical, the endothelial cells are what line all the blood vessels. And they have that SARS-2 receptor, excuse me, ACE-2 receptor for the spike protein, because the ACE molecule is what relaxes or constricts blood vessels. And so they have to have that. So all the blood vessels in the body have that. So unfortunately, that makes them susceptible to all the spike protein-induced endothelial damage. And that is everywhere in the body. It acts like little Velcro balls, so to speak, you know, the spike protein. As it goes into the small and smaller capillaries, it finds a place and it wedges in there, and then it bonds with those receptors. Once it bonds with those receptors, the virus is able to enter the cells, and that immediately leads to inflammation of the blood vessels and clotting ultimately. And that's what we're seeing, a huge amount of clotting, strokes, heart attacks, pulmonary emboli, DVTs, across the board, all kinds of strange blood clots and problems and things you're seeing in athletes. We had just recently an American athlete, a football player from the Buffalo Bills, who on a very minor collision wound up dropping dead, basically, and they saved him of a massive heart attack. And they said, oh, it was this commotio cortis, this condition where you get struck in the chest. But that was nonsense. The whole team was just reboosted a month before, and it was right in that critical window. Mm-hmm. You know, only two guys declined it in the whole team. So, but you know, once again, everyone ignores the obvious. You know, why would a world-class athlete drop like that? And we're seeing that. I believe that, I don't know the exact number, I think it's up to 1,400 from last year, you know, and now it's 50 times the background, you know, usually mm-hmm. over 50 years, only 1,000 would die. You know, this was 1,400 in 1 year, and that's mm-hmm. gone up again this year, well ahead of that curve. We're only 2 months in. So you're seeing it all over the world, soccer players dropping, football players, you know, otherwise healthy people.
Yes, and young athletes also. So athletes right. that are not professional, not being paid professionally, but our community, young people, athletes that right. are 12, 13, 14 years old that are going for these jabs that are also dropping dead. So right. they're not as reported by the big press, because it's not, and it's certainly not reported as a jab injury. Related. That's right. It's not. So in lots of small towns all over the place, there's very elite level athletes who are young, who are also dying from this. And children are being affected mm-hmm. incredibly by it as well. So sorry to interrupt there.
No, don't be silly. And that's happening everywhere. You know, mm-hmm. we're seeing young people with cancers, young people with autoimmune stuff. And this spike protein-induced endothelial damage is what it does is each organ system, as it works its way back from the capillaries into the larger blood vessels, eventually it leads to dysfunction of the organ. Because of two reasons, because of lack of oxygen delivery and lack of nutrients, because the blood vessels are damaged and no longer functioning. In addition to which, it seems as if the spike protein, once it gets into the cell, the normal proteins that the cell produces become abnormal. There's what's called a misfolding of it. How proteins work is proteins, they function by their shape. Their shape dictates their function, because that dictates the receptors they bind to. So, you know, it doesn't sound like much to a layman saying, oh, well, they're folded different. You fold them different, you've changed their function. And so if you change the function of the proteins that the cell is exhibiting on the outside of the cell, this is the, you know, the receptor domain, where this is how the body recognizes self from non-self. And so when it sees these cells that have a different protein on the outside, it says, oh, it immediately tests them. So this is not self, and it attacks them. And that leads to a lot of the autoimmune stuff that we're seeing. But it also leads to dysfunction of these organs. In addition to which, it leads to premature aging of these cells. And they're looking at it now and thinking, could this actually be, in some cases, accelerated aging of the body itself? And this is what we're seeing with these end organ damage. But there's also really ominous things like prion production. There's the all these things like Kuru and all these mad cow disease and all these things that were from prions. Prions are misfolded proteins, and they act pathologically, but they also are able to propagate themselves. Not that they have a nucleus or anything that would direct it. They have no RNA or DNA, but what they have is like it's like a Lego set of open receptors on the end. And so if there's a protein that floats by, an amino acid, that floats by that matches that protein, that receptor, it binds to it, and that propagates it. And so we're seeing the deposition in organs of these abnormal proteins from the misfolding. And some of it looks like prion disease, where you'll have a lot of brain damage because it's crossing the blood-brain barrier. And this is really ominous. I mean, this is terrible. And a lot of it's forming different types of amyloidosis also, from amyloid proteins being deposited. And so we're seeing all these unusual syndromes. I mean, you know, very rare for us to diagnose, for a guy like myself, primary care to diagnose an amyloidosis case, but we're seeing more and more of these things.
And what do the symptoms look like prion disease or amyloidosis?
That's the problem. There are no symptoms initially. Yeah. By the time symptoms develop, it's over. It's over. That's why it's so difficult to diagnose. You know, because it's end organ damage and you have to do biopsies and realize that the proteins are being deposited there. And so
is that brain damage, liver, lung, heart, kidney, and the whole enchilada?
Ubiquitous, everywhere.
Ubiquitous, yeah. Everywhere.
Mostly the prion disease across the blood-brain barrier and affect the brain. Mm-hmm. But the amyloidosis affects all the other organs. But the craziest thing is that now it appears that the immune damage we're seeing is secondary to T cell depletion. So what we're seeing is identical to what we saw in AIDS. So, you know, and people get freaked out about that. And I'm not saying it has anything to do with the HIV virus.
Correct.
What I mean is at the result of it, the HIV targets specifically immune cells, T cells, and these same T cells are targeted by the spike protein. And so what appears to be happening now is T cell dysfunction. So there's two types of immunity. There's humoral immunity, which is B cells making antibodies, and there's cellular immunity, where the T cells attack cells and destroy them and stuff. And they both are equally important, but T cells are probably more important even. And that determines your immunity. So that's what happened in HIV cases. Over years, it would damage HIV infected, and then they would develop AIDS. And that's what's happening now. A recent study out of England was showing a massive spike in AIDS cases in patients who were never had it, or HIV negative, have nothing to do with it.
Right. Nothing to do with that lifestyle.
Lifestyle, nothing to do with it at all. It just happens to be that they were recurrently infected and recurrently vaccinated. And so that T cell depletion is very ominous, because then we're looking at possibly millions of people having no immune systems left, and we'll get all types of opportunistic infections and cancers, the same thing we
are seeing this right now with the 1 in 2 cancer. People, 1 in 2 people will experience cancer in their lifetime, you know, and that didn't used to be the case. I mean, cancer was pretty prevalent, but man, that's off the charts. As for the AIDS thing, the acquired immune deficiency syndrome, in Canada here, the Saskatchewan government I was surprised to hear that, but the government here actually had a test that you could order online from them to test yourself if you had AIDS. And that was in 2020. Wow. So I was like, what? In little old Canada here.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like, you gotta be kidding me. And that's, so I say that a lot in this, you know, the last 2 years or two and a half years, I've say that a lot. You've gotta be kidding me about things that are reported. And so with these odd symptoms, it's all over the world.
The world seems to be getting crazier. That's why the things.
The reason why the world maybe is getting crazier is because some of this stuff is crossing the blood-brain barrier, and it is affecting people's neurology, which is actually the seat of your thinking.
Right.
So if your cognitive function is gone, your executive functioning is gone, of course your decision-making is there.
Right.
So your decision-making isn't even.
Well, that's one of the most commonly reported side effects of any of the COVID infections, this fuzzy headedness and confusion. Mm-hmm. I see that all the time from patients who say to me, "Doc, I'm just not the same. Since I had that infection or I had the vaccination, I'm not clear headed. I'm not, they're not dribbling and walking around, babbling idiots, but they know they're off their game and it slowly gets worse and it concerns them to no end as it should." Mm-hmm. And that's part of long haul COVID. That's one of the biggest parts. And so, the rush now is to find ways to intervene and to break those cycles. And, that's going to be hard, because the government is just doing the party line. They're giving the same crazy stuff, remdesivir, Paxlovid, all the crazy stuff that doesn't work and actually harms you. Right. And they're not offering us anything else. They're just finally letting, loosening up a little bit on ivermectin and things that worked, but not much. And the state medical boards are still out of their minds. They're still pulling people's medical licenses and stuff and prosecuting doctors. California passed a law that any doctor that speaks out against the current dogma about the vaccine and its beautiful usefulness will lose his license. That's being challenged in the courts, but it's unbelievable that they've even tried that. Never before have we ever tried that, a blanket censorship of physicians. Why? What are they so afraid of?
Right. Yeah. And there was certainly censorship of a lot of physicians on Twitter. I was just watching somebody, and I don't know their name off the top of my head, but her video just came out today, and she's a U.S. senator, I think, that was vaccine injured. So she's taking to task for, I think there's four people from Twitter there, asking them about why was the information from doctors from Stanford and doctors from Harvard all taken off, all censored about how the vaccines and how the disease progression could have been helped along and what the vaccines were doing to people and how they shouldn't be used because they actually don't work for certain populations of people at all. So this big push to have vaccine for kids, there's no evidence, really.
None. Zero, zilch, nada. There's nothing in there because we know that COVID is age-related disease. The higher, the older you are, the worse you do. Mm-hmm. And you add comorbidities
like
on top of that. Right.
Like flu,
actually like most infectious diseases, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very few. A lot of them also affect the young, like the flu sometimes affects the young more than the old. But not COVID. COVID doesn't affect the young at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, children, I have so many patients their parents have it, the kids catch it, don't even know they have it. They test them, they're positive. Mm-hmm. And so I try to get the message out to all of them, do not vaccinate your children, whatever you do. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about it earlier in one of the others talks about the massive problems with fertility now from these vaccinations of the young. I mean, we know for a fact, the spike protein goes right to the ovaries. It goes to the testes. It crosses the blood-brain barrier. It goes to the heart. We know it goes everywhere. This nonsense they told us initially would never leave the deltoid area where we inject you. This is only, that would be a freak thing if it ever got out of there. But no, I mean, everything they said was a lie. Every single thing they said about it. They told us initially, RNA can never become DNA. And the dogma was DNA makes RNA, RNA makes the proteins. And so they injected RNA just to make the proteins for the spike protein, thinking, okay, that will be set. Well, as it turns out, there's a reverse transcriptase that can convert in the opposite direction, RNA to DNA. Mm-hmm. And now we know it's incorporated in the DNA. And that's a permanent change.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
This whole, I guess it feels like lots of people don't take it very seriously because it's just like, one more shot. And maybe that's because there's an indoctrination around, that's just one more shot. Let's get along. And, what's the big deal? And don't make a big deal about it. But really, it does change your genetics. And so from somebody who has a genetic disease, which is me, and our family has Huntington's, which funnily enough, a lot of this looks a lot like people who have onset of Huntington's. So when it first came out, I thought, I feel like this is another experiment. I feel like people with Huntington's were, I feel like they were an experiment. And that's how it started. Yeah, that's what I think. So people go, oh, yeah, that's like right out to lunch. I don't know. What I see right now with this change to people's DNA through injections, like it's not that far a stretch.
Yeah. Dr. McCullough just came out with a video earlier today. I believe it was out of Texas A&M. I don't remember where he said the study was from. But they were showing women who are vaccinated passing on those genes to their children. They've actually verified it. Mm-hmm. And so this nonsense that it doesn't pass on is crazy. So we who are we to genetically, we're not God, and genetically altering ourselves forever moving forward, especially with something that mm-hmm. is producing a pathological protein forever. So these children are inheriting, you know, compromised immune systems, mm-hmm. all types of problems that they're going to get from their parents. Their life expectancies, I would guess, are not going to be very long.
Right. And if you're sick, that's what you're focused on. If you have a sick family, that's what you're focused on. You're not focused on all the things that you've been focused on before all the sickness onset, you know, so you make a good point or the question mark around God. You know, I think we're in this post-God era where people have really forgotten that we have a creator. So it's just like, well, I'm just going to create, you know, and that's then we're easily hijacked.
Right.
You know, so this whole, the tech thing is very interesting. The, you know, this transhumanism thing, because one of the main guys from the World Economic Forum, I can't remember his first name. I want to say his last name here. His middle name is Noah. So maybe that's all I'll say about that. But what he,
I know who you mean. I can't think of his name either.
So what he said though was, is that, you know, if you go along with all this transhumanism stuff, that you might become, you may even become godlike. And when I heard that, I went, we already are godlike. What are you talking about, you nut? No, we already are. Have people forgotten? Maybe that's the problem, because we are godlike already. So
they're doing some crazy stuff. New York City just put up a statue of a demon goddess with horns. And did you see that?
I did. And it's real. What is that about? Where did they put that? It's outside.
It's outside some, I'm not sure, some government building in New York, you know, thinking, what are you doing? You know, we're rejecting God and embracing demons. Are you out of your mind?
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole thing is demonic.
Right.
You know, this whole transhumanism, this whole vaccination jab that they're pushing on and continue to push despite the
evidence
to the contrary. I mean, thank God, England, I was surprised. You know, I know Australia, Sweden, Finland, and now England stopped vaccinating people. England used the age of 50 as a cutoff. The others used 59. They realized that there's so much myocarditis and so much cancer and so many problems, and all the young people are vaccinating that they're getting very nervous. Even the U.S. military is having major problems now from all the men that they forced the vaccinations on.
Yeah, and that's been for forever. The army has been the test guinea pigs since the dawn of time for all kinds of vaccinations. So, that's really incredibly horrible, but true.
They're having trouble recruiting people now. Mm-hmm. Between that and the, you know, this transsexual stuff that they're pushing on, the Marines actually stopped saying yes ma'am and yes sir. I mean, it's unbelievable the stuff that they're pulling. You know, we've gone from, you know, they're saying that they don't have their rights and stuff, and they're using all these things like climate change and all these different problems as excuses to control us. It's just horrible. I mean, they're coming at us from every direction. you start getting paranoid the more you look into this. You go, oh my God.
Right. And then that amplifies any sickness that is already there, which I think also is that a part of the control mechanism, right? It's like make people sick and then get them afraid and then keep them running around and in chaos. Because when you're in chaos, you're not certain about anything. So then you actually get more and more stressed, which makes you sick.
Right.
You know, so there's this bigger amplification of things. Yeah. And so it is, we're inundated all the time. And that's why you need to actually have a doctor who you can trust to come to talk through things, that is somebody who actually believes that you could get sick from these things, because some of the doctors are not they believing that people get sick, or they are sick themselves. Like in Canada, we've got doctors dropping dead, and that's been reported. So well over 100 doctors who are who are young, in good shape, you know, at the top of their game, and and
had no other illnesses, no comorbidities, and they're dropping. Same thing here, but no one questions it. Everyone thinks, oh my God, that's a coincidence. 8 guys lost in the last year from, you know, the local hospital. And how could that be? Oh, well, you know, I'm thinking, are you guys crazy? You know, it's just like the life insurance companies of America when they came out and reported a 40% rise in unexplained death in adults ages 18 to 59. 40% rise. They thought a 10% rise would be what's called a black swan event, something that happens every 200 years. And they get a 40% rise, and they actually scratch their heads. And they say, well, we have no idea why. In 1 year. Well, what has changed? I mean, how blind can you be? You know, it's
Well, sometimes people are paid to be blind. Maybe that's part of it too. Because when you've taken a paycheck for any of this stuff, it's the hardest thing for humans to do is to say they made a mistake and apologize, right? It's like, oh man, that was dumb. That was a dumb thing I did. And sorry, I just kept going down that line. But we as humans have a hard time doing that. And also when there's this breakdown in family and community, you don't have trusted advisors that you can go and talk to say, you know, I really screwed up. And, you know, or that whole culture has been usurped in some way over the last 30 years.
I know it's, and it saddens me mostly for medicine, because I trained during a time when we would open debate was encouraged, and we would have lively debates in the doctor's lounge about, you know, stuff that would bore the general public, but got us fed our inner nerds and got us excited, you know, but and you would learn a lot from it. Sometimes you're wrong, sometimes you're right, but either way you learned. And sometimes they had a good point and you compromise. You said, oh, you know, you're right about that, but I think this, blah blah blah, and you had to defend it. You can't just say shut up, this is the way it is, you know, listen to me, you're not allowed your opinion. You know, that's all changed now. Now you just, you know, it's whack-a-mole. You stick your head up and you're, you know, the powers that be constantly tried to crush me during the height of the pandemic. I mean, just meetings in my office, threatening my license and stuff. And you just, I'm saying, for what? Because I'm questioning what you guys are doing? You guys have no studies backing this. You're pushing this, you know, this vaccine. At the time, I had my great suspicions about, but we didn't know how horrible it was even then. You know, and I said to them, well, you know, it seems to me that I've studied viruses my whole life, and it seems to me that viruses always do the same thing. They always become less lethal and more contagious because they want market share. The virus doesn't want to kill you. MERS and SARS did that initially. It was so deadly, they had 25 and 35% death rates that it didn't go anywhere, because people get so sick, they're immediately bedridden, they can't spread it.
Right.
You know, the ideal situation is something like cytomegalovirus, a virus that we almost all have. It's sexually transmitted to adults and through body fluids, and everyone seems to get it, but no one knows they have it. But when we test it, everyone has it. And it lies dormant. But even cytomegalovirus, herpes viruses, Epstein-Barr viruses, all of them are being activated by the infection. So at the same time, I see patients who get COVID and then develop shingles, and their Hashimoto's goes crazy, and they're exhausted, and all these other problems. Their Epstein-Barr virus goes crazy, and they spend a week in bed. And that's all part of it. But once again, it's being ignored.
So so what are the best strategies? Let's focus in on T cells, maybe as part of how can people try to do everything that they can to improve the shape of their cells, including T cells. What can people do practically?
Well, practically it's difficult. What you have to do is augment the rest of your immune system. And by that, I mean, you have to take high dose antioxidants. And you have, there's a cascade effect. For example, I always teach patients, there's four, vitamin C and glutathione are both water soluble, and they regenerate each other. And vitamin E and COQ10 do the same thing. CoQ10, they regenerate each other. And there is a alpha lipoic acid is both water and fat soluble. It's the only thing we know that is both. And it goes through the entire body, and that that's like a cascade. It regenerates both arms of that. On the fat soluble side, it regenerates the vitamin E and the COQ10 on a water-soluble side, it regenerates a glutathione and a vitamin C. So I use those five a lot in patients just to get things going. Years ago, we couldn't get glutathione. Now you can get it in suppositories and stuff. You couldn't take it orally. It was destroyed. But you can even nebulize it and inhale it. And so it's very effective at boosting the immune system. Or you could use what's called NAC, N-acetylcysteine, which becomes glutathione eventually. So,
okay. So the NAC can be taken orally then for people who
you can nebulize it also.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's the most effective way to do it. But once again, oddly enough, at the height of the pandemic, when they pulled ivermectin away, they took away NAC. You couldn't get it on Amazon.
Yeah. Yes.
With no explanation. Why would you do that? You think to yourself, it seems coordinated from the top, all of this.
They've done.
And just over and over again. Yeah. Every time we reach out for something, they block it and keep you from getting it. It was same with hydroxychloroquine. They demonized it.
Yes.
This is, God, this, Trump liked it, so they hated it. And it was crazy because we used it for years. It was Plaquenil.
Right. And turns out that the person who you guys can do your research about this, but that doctor that said that Trump was making up the stuff about hydroxychloroquine got fired, and then he got hired over at Rockefeller Foundation.
Yeah. There you go. Right.
So you can find his little lovely,
right.
I'd like to say mugshot, because that's what they should have.
Right.
His photo. Fauci
and all of them should be arrested for crimes against humanity.
Yes.
And they pushed this knowing it was not safe. And they continue to push it, unabashedly, because I don't know how it works in Canada, but one of the major problems here we have is this revolving door. Mm-hmm. It happens in the defense industry. It happens in all the FDA and all the overseers are supposed to be protecting us from the pharmaceutical industry.
Right.
Immediately go and get jobs in the pharmaceutical industry after they work for them behind the scenes, get huge bonuses and go to them. And so that should be stopped because it immediately compromises all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we wind up getting the same, what we have now, where we have agencies that just don't help us.
Yeah. And they're all intermingled in the higher echelons of the world also, because I'm not exactly sure how the health services, systems work in Canada in particular, and that they're any different than what you're doing. We have a lot smaller population here in Canada, which is one thing. But the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab said that he's infiltrated the Canadian cabinet, almost all of them. And he said that a few years ago. So their whole agenda 2030 falls in line with all of the pharmaceutical stuff and the transhumanist stuff. And I think both of those things are actually connected, because the more that you can get people on pharmacy of any kind that's taking you out of your own body and out of your own wellness, the more connected you are to that transhuman frequency, where you're not trusting your own body to heal. You've done everything possible to be against yourself, and it's intentional, with all the things that are going on. So that are against humanity.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Oh, yeah. And then a large part of that problem, too, a piece of that, besides the pharmaceutical companies, is the agricultural companies.
Oh, yes.
They're just on board with this as well, pushing foods that are on us that are just garbage. Mm-hmm. All these processed foods that are devoid of anything. They add some nutrients back because they're so worthless.
Yeah.
But, that leads to all kinds of disease and dysfunction. And they're trying to demonize seeds and selling and growing your own food and all this stuff, because they want to control the food supply. They want to see bugs and all these processed foods and everything they make, rather than God-given foods that are grown in sunshine, that are open pollinated, and that are full of nutrients that our bodies needs. Instead, we get this garbage that they feed us, and people are getting fatter and sicker every generation.
Right. And it does say that we're supposed to eat meat, just for, guess that's a biblical reference to what we're supposed to consume. And that is our God-given food. One thing with the food stuff, can you talk at all about the hormones that are in food that could be changing or are changing some of the way that kids are growing up to be more feminine or more masculine in the other body.
Yeah, that's a major problem. There's what's called endocrine disruptors in plastics and in foods and stuff that people are ingesting. Estrogens are huge in plastics. Mm-hmm. And so what you wind up, we call them here in the United States, soy boys. You wind up getting these boys who have their little top knot and they're effeminate and, you know, they don't have deep voices. They're not well built. They're just slight little fellows and they're not very aggressive. They're not very sexual or nothing. They're not interested in anything. You know, their girlfriends lead them around and in addition to which this explosion of homosexuality and bisexuality and transgenderism. Mm-hmm. I mean, how could that happen in one generation? You know, people immediately when you bring it up, you're a homophobe. I'm not saying anything against me. You can do anything you want. No. It's got nothing to do with it. I'm just talking about demographically. We always knew that a certain percent of the population was gay. That was always accepted.
Right.
From earliest times. And that's just the way it is. But not, you know, maybe 5% or 3%. I don't know what the original numbers were, but not what it is now. And it means transgenderism was unheard of. I mean, when I was young, there was one transgender woman, Christine Jorgensen. She was famous. She was from somewhere in Scandinavia. And they'd have her on talk shows in the United States, and she was a curiosity. Now they're talking about 3% of high school girls in the United States getting sex changes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a mutilation industry. These hospitals and these doctors are pushing this on children. Puberty blockers. And all these poisons that are giving these kids. Let's face it, no teenager, even when we were young, is really secure about the sexuality. You're young, you're just learning about things, you're always insecure about yourself. Mm-hmm. But now they're being, proselytized from the youngest ages. You know, it's transgender speakers to preschool kids. Why would you do that?
Right.
You know, that's child abuse. Mm-hmm. You know, and these hospitals and these doctors pushing this on children. Are you nuts? It should be stopped. In my opinion, no one under 21 should be allowed to have a sex change. We know that the brain doesn't really mature fully till you're 25.
Right.
You know, and these young kids, you know, 18, the minimum, cut it off and allow it. You know, so many of them are having second thoughts about it. In addition to which, I think the last number I heard was 42% of them attempt suicide within 1 year of having the operation. I mean, if there was anything else, we would call it a mental illness that it is. You know, but we can't do that because they're a protected class and you have to ignore that fact. And it's destroying women's sports in the United States. You have a man who's 450th in the men's division. He's number one in the women's division and beats it by a whole length of a pool. Mm-hmm. These poor girls have been trained their whole lives.
Yeah.
It's happening here in Connecticut. We have these transgender athletes in track and field. These girls can't compete with them. They can't compete with a male shot putter or a discus thrower or a sprinter. They biologically cannot do it. They don't have the muscle mass and the strength to do it. It's just not fair to them. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Where is the women's movement? Why aren't they screaming about this? You know,
they created it. Yeah. A lot of it. That's my opinion. Oh, sorry about that. Not really. Sorry, not sorry. There's my Canadian sorry, not sorry for the day. Unreal.
I see another strike in your future on YouTube.
Probably several. I should just have my own sort of thing. YouTube, be damned. No. Yeah. Oh, well, let the algorithms get that.
Where have we ever seen the censorship? And a combination of it. Yeah. Very, very serious now in the United States because it's corporate fascism.
Right.
The media, the Democratic Party, all and the schools all working together to indoctrinate these people and censor us and shut us up. What are they so afraid of? You never try to censor people about lying. You censor them about the truth. Mm-hmm. And take the truth. You know, they can't speak to the truth. They can't debate it. They can't come up with their reasons about it.
Can't bring it to light. Anything that is of the dark, you can't bring it to light and say, I want to shine a light on this crazy bit of thing that I just saw here. Yeah. And what do you mean? You can't talk about that. Well, I am talking about it. So
why not?
Right. That's right. Well, because we've got a vested interest too in this country, in our countries, in our Western heritage. It's really important to understand actually how much our morals and ethics are actually the thing that took people out of being uncivilized into being civilized. So as much as we kind of poo-poo on that stuff, there are important things that came out of that, that we're just throwing to the side, you know, so we're,
the Ten Commandments are there for a reason.
That's right. We don't value life. We don't value, children. We, you know, so this whole, like, where did that start happening? And why did that? It's because feminists said, my body is my body, my choice. But you can't, if you're vaccinated, you don't want to have a vaccine. It's not your body, your choice.
Right. Right. And like, no, with the jab.
Right. Come on over here. But yeah, no, we're in very dangerous times with the censorship. Bill C-11 just passed here in Canada, and that's an internet censorship bill. So I'm not even sure what that will mean for Canadian producers. How it will roll out remains to be seen. So I'm very fortunate to have a platform that's, you know, not
outside
local. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. But, is there no conservative movement in Canada that would come out against this stuff?
Yeah, I think there is, but we've got, Justin Trudeau at the helm right now. And until he's out of power, he and Jagmeet Singh, who's the NDP leader, they've made a devil's pact of some kind to, you know, keep things moving through the.
Well, he's trained by Klaus Schwab.
Yes, completely. Yeah.
So he's one of those young leaders, along with Zelensky in Ukraine, a whole bunch of these fellows, you know,
yeah,
yes. wisely placed, trained years ago in, Pete Buttigieg here in the United States is a graduate of that, you know, and they have all these people that they placed in power wisely. In the United States, they're doing a lot where they're taking care of local prosecutors and they're refusing to prosecute certain people and prosecuting others for defending themselves and crazy stuff.
Yeah, it is completely crazy. So again, it comes back to our own ability to maintain and manage our lives through, first of all, our health. And so when our health has been hijacked, you actually can't do a single other thing. I see these, like, there's the two paths that diverged in the wood. I'm seeing that now, like physically with my eyes, I'm seeing the people who are going along, you know, and kind of la-di-da about the whole thing. Like they really don't get that 15-minute cities are a bad idea.
Like really just totally
under the trance of it all.
Well,
and then I see the other.
Yeah. I was going to say, even myself in my practice, you know, almost my entire practice is vaccinated because it was during a shutdown and they all panicked and went, even though I told them not to do it. Mm-hmm. I'd say maybe 10% of them aren't, you know, it's funny because one of them sort of cardiologist the other day, I referred him to it and he asked him if he was vaccinated. He goes, no, I'm not getting vaccinated. My doctor told me not to. And he said, well, he's a different kind of doctor. He said, I took that as a badge of honor. I didn't take that as an insult.
That's right. He is a different kind of doctor. Yeah. So we've got about 5 minutes left. Let's talk about your work and your upcoming book and sort of what would be the best advice that you can give people, to try and access some joy and get some stability, even amongst challenging times, because, you know, we've all got challenging times sometimes in our health. What do we do?
Well, I mean, personally, I think that people should reach religion helps more than anything. Having something above yourself, some other faith that you can rely on and pray to. And I think that grounds you a lot and helps you in innumerable ways. Mm-hmm. I see so many patients in my practice who are chronically depressed. Almost always they're atheists or have no religion in their life and have not much family life. And, you know, I think God, family, country, that's good stuff. It's not bad stuff.
Right.
It's always worked before, but I think nutrition, as far as from my end, is the key. I mean, you have to start growing your own food. You can't rely on the powers that be to feed us and to provide us with quality nutrition. And you have to question things. I mean, the least pharmaceuticals you can take, the better. Use functional medicine, things like I do. Do minerals and trace elements and vitamins and stuff. And that cures a lot and prevents a lot. So there's a lot of ways you can empower yourself. And that's what my books are all about. They all of them talk about the same thing. The Bible of Alternative Medicine outlines how to grow food. Same thing as the Doomsday Book tells you how to grow your own food in ways and explains to you why that works. And I go through each organ system and each problem you can develop. And I give you multiple ways to treat that with natural substances or even over-the-counter things that you can get. And then I started writing. My newest series is going to be called Secrets from the Medical Underground. The first book was Infected. And the second book is going to be called Long Haul COVID Secrets from the Medical Underground. And so, and I'm going to start a Substack page actually probably this weekend. So I'll be busy
Perfect timing. Yes.
Yeah. And, because I think as I write sections of the book, I think I'll post them on there. And, that's a great source for, information about the virus, and the jab and different things.
Right. Probably Dr. Michael Yeadon would, I imagine, be on there as well.
He's on there too. Yes.
Yeah. He'd be on there too. So let's talk. I lied. We actually have a few more minutes than I thought. So we, so I want to know, because people talk about this long haul COVID. But what is long haul COVID?
Long haul COVID, you know, it's kind of nebulous. There's the current definition, I believe, is more than 4 to 6 weeks having symptoms after you had an infection. They don't even mention the jab, you know, which is crazy because a lot of it, most of it I see comes after the jab, but it's hard to tell because so many people are infected and jabbed because the jab didn't work. In fact, a recent study came out and said the more vaccines you have and the more boosters you have, the greater your chance of getting COVID and the worse your outcomes. So it's completely an upside down world where everything is backwards. But so, you know, that's the kind of thing. And so long haul COVID is those symptoms that persist. And it was like I alluded to earlier, is from the spike protein and the deposition of these misfolded proteins all through the body and the devastation of the T cells and then the cellular immunity. And all of that works together, as well as the activation of latent viruses and cancers and autoimmune things. So you have this toxic pool of things hitting these patients. And it, universally, they complain of extreme fatigue, foggy headedness. And then it goes from there, you know, headaches, different things, chest pain, you know, recurrent infections, you know, the whole nine yards. But the good news is that the Medical Underground, which is not a, I don't want people to think there's actually a club where we have membership in. I use that term to describe all of us who are kind of the opposition to what's going on. You know, and that's not just physicians. That's a lot of really great researchers. There's a guy named William Chestnut. Does great research on Substack. Brilliant stuff and coming up with great stuff all day. There's a few different guys on there that really do good stuff. So there's scientists, there's physicians, and there's just concerned citizens who have educated themselves and taken the bull by the horns and said, I'm not going to become a victim of this. I'm going to get down smart. I know what to do. Let me look. And we pool all that knowledge. Everyone posts stuff on there and we get together and, you know, not physically, but we look through and go, okay, this is oh good, this is a new treatment we can use. There's some really effective stuff. I like using the fibrinolytic enzymes. They're natural and they work well, and there's three that are big. Serratopeptidase, which is made from, it's what a cocoon in the cocoon with the silk moth releases to eat its way through the cocoon. So it's a protease, it's an enzyme that eats proteins, and so that's very effective against
clots. That's handy.
Yeah. And against fibrin, which is clots, you know, so it works against clots. And then there's another one called natto kinase. That's from a Japanese dish called natto. It's a soybean dish where they ferment it and it produces this enzyme that is that's 10 times stronger than serratopeptidase. But then there's my favorite. There's lumbrokinase, which is made from earthworms, but that's 300 times stronger than serratopeptidase and 30 times stronger than natto kinase. And so that's what I've been putting patients on who are clotting. What I do is check their D-dimer levels, and now I put them on lumbrokinase. And it's over the counter. You can get that on Amazon. I like the Dr. Mercola one only because it's enteric-coated. But you have to take that on an empty stomach, so if you eat a protein, it doesn't affect it. So you take it on an empty stomach, but that will stop clots. And you can take that when you're on a blood thinner because it works at a different spot in the cascade, the clotting cascade. It doesn't work affecting it upstream. It only affects the actual clot that's being produced. So it'll clear those clots from your body. It really has no side effects. So that's one thing. And some people are using a combination called Bromac, which is actually out of Australia, a product called Bromac, but that's just a term people are using for the combination of bromelain, which is made from pineapples. It's an enzyme, and NAC, N-acetylcysteine. That combination they found is much, each one alone works okay against the spike protein, but they found that combination actually dissolves the spike protein. So they're coming up. Yeah, there's very interesting things in the pipeline people are coming up with that. And I think that's what the book is going to be about. Medical Underground at Substack. That'll be my page. But there's great other great pages on there from other physicians and scientists and concerned citizens. And it's open. It's free. It's available to everyone. It's great stuff.
Dr. Bombardier,
you to support those people as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Do you have a mailing list that people can subscribe to?
No, I don't.
Not yet. Okay.
Not yet. Substack will be my way of doing it eventually.
Okay.
You know?
Fantastic. Yeah. All right. So look for Dr. Ralph LaGuardia on Substack. Thanks so much, Dr. LaGuardia, for being
a guest once again
on the show. It's wonderful to have you. Everybody, love yourselves, love each other, mind your minds. That's all for us. Take care. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.